Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Audience of One, the podcast. It's Myrna, your host, and today I have a very, very amazing, spectacular, fantabulous, gorgeous, pretty girl next to me. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi guys, my name is Hisent. I am the CEO of Hisene, and I'm a potential millionaire, and I also have a YouTube channel called Hisent Ada, geared towards impacting life as well, so check it out.
Content creators, we love to see it. Doing the Lord's work. Anyways, Hisent, I have some questions for you. Would you rather questions? Are you ready?
Yes.
Would you rather go without shampoo for the rest of your life or toothpaste for the rest of your life?
Shampoo now.
Shampoo!
Yes!
So you're walking around with dirty hair.
Would you want your mouth to be smelling as you're walking around?
You'll be using chewing stick.
Can you do that?
Yes, now I'm used to chewing sticks to brush their teeth.
You can wash your hair with soap too.
Yeah, I'm okay with dirty soap, bar soap.
And if you wash it with soap,
Irish Spring.
Hawaii. If you wash it with soap, you can pour oil on it. In secondary school, I used to wash my hair with B29. And then I use that cream.
The cream inside the that pink one. You rub it on your hair.
Yes, now like wash it with soap and then rub it with my cream.
Did you have hair? Did you have hair?
And it very few.
Very few. You guys, I can't with Hisent. A big. All right. So that's Hisent. She would rather go without shampoo
than toothpaste.
Me, I'd rather go without toothpaste.
I'm sure most people will agree with me, Myrna.
No, because you can use chewing stick to wash your mouth. Yes, our forefathers did it.
Our forefathers did use shampoo.
I beg. Agree to disagree.
Okay. Who actually votes which one you would do?
Let's enter the actual episode.
Okay.
So today's episode is titled, so let's talk about friendship. And I feel like friendship is very, very underlooked when it comes to relationships. Because people, when they think of relationships, it's like, okay, let me enter this relationship. Let me find babe. Let me find love.
Yeah.
You know, let him not tension me, oppress me on Valentine's Day. But people fail to realize that your friendships are relationships. And they are equally as important as your romantic relationships. Dare I say, even more important. That's a bit of a controversial topic. Anyways, Hisent, do you have friends?
Yes, Myrna, yes, I have friends. I have friends. You're my friend. No.
Aisha.
Wait, ask me. Are you like... I have friends.
Yes, yes. Hisent, we have friends. Mm-hmm. We have friends. Mm-hmm. Don't cry. And how important are your friendships to you?
I don't know how to like start quantifying how important they are to me. But I just know that I don't take my friendships like lightly.
Yeah.
My friendships are something I like to protect, especially when it's the energy being put in the friendship is mutual between the both of us. I like to really protect my friendship. So the friendships are really important to me. I can't even, very important to me.
I actually get that. And I can attest to that fact because Hisent helps me set up this entire thing. She helped me set up this entire thing. Like maybe Charlie texted me at, was it like 9 a.m. or something?
Yeah,
she was like, there's no boat. There's no boat. What am I going to do? And I'm like, can you wait till the afternoon? And she was like, and here we are. Everything. Hisent doesn't actually take our friendships for granted. She doesn't take them lightly. And I'm so happy to be your friend.
Me too.
Enough with the mission.
Okay. Okay.
And I was on, I think, Instagram or Twitter, one of them, the other day. And somebody said, no, it was Instagram and it was a reel. And the person was like, you know, he believes that friendships are seasonal, like they're for a specific period of time. Like the friends that you have right now, like let's say like 90% of them won't be your friends in the next, say, 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. Like, you know, he believes that people come into your life for a specific purpose at a specific time, and then they serve their purpose and they leave. And me personally, if I'm to give my view on that, I want you to give your view first. Mm-hmm. What do you mm-hmm. think about that?
First of all, I feel like that is such a myopic way of viewing friendships. Because if you have seen friendships as something that, I understand that people actually do come into your lives, serve a purpose, and sometimes they stay, sometimes they go. But you cannot let that be like the whole foundation or the whole lens you're looking at friendship through, because then at the end of the day, it's like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Why actually being friends with people if you're not looking at it in terms of longevity? Like, do you understand? So it's like, oh, I'm your friend Marna, but I know that I'm only your friend now because you are doing podcast, and mm-hmm. when you're not doing podcast again, we'll not be friends. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I feel like when we're friends with people, right, we hope that these people can stay in our lives for a long time. We pray and we hope. Although some things can happen along the line that would cause you to fall out, but that's not something that we are looking forward to. That's not something that you should be like, oh, well, I'm your friend, but I know that next year you're not my friend again. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I feel like just love people while they are here. Like, love your mm-hmm. friends and offer everything you can in that friendship while they are here. But never look at it from the lens of, and they're just here to mm-hmm. save me. They'll go eventually. That's just sad.
Because I feel like when we even start to, for a better lack of words, when we start to think that way or believe that, then you may not end up subconsciously, you may not end up putting in the effort
yes, exactly.
that you're actually meant exactly. to for this friendship to work, because you're like,
eventually they will serve their purpose.
Like, secondary school now, I know that a lot of people that I spoke to in secondary school, I don't speak to them anymore. And it's not anything, it's not even like out of spite or whatever, it's just because of the pure fact that, like, in secondary school, because I went to boarding school, we didn't have midterm break. You mm-hmm. need to step in and you step out when you're going home. So you literally see the exact same people every single day.
Yes.
And as relational beings that we are, human beings, you definitely interact.
Yeah, you have no
choice. Your circle of interaction is very limited to, the people in your class, people in your set, people in your year. So obviously your friendships are going to form from that space, mm-hmm. right? But when you come out of that environment, yes, people that you met there, they, quote-unquote, serve their purpose, to use his mm-hmm. words. Like, they serve their purpose. You guys were friends. And then now, you're out of there. I will not necessarily say, we're not friends anymore, just because we don't talk as much. Because mm-hmm. life happens. If I still want to message one of these people, I can message them, and we'll catch up, and everything will be great. But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to, like, in secondary school, it didn't mean that, I didn't talk to anybody because I knew that by the time I finish from here, I will not see any of these people anymore. Not us trolling this guy. I know that friendships are, they should be worked on with the lens of longevity, mm-hmm. continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I hope that's a word.
Me too.
I hope that's a word.
Yes.
Okay, Hyson, do you think that the people that you hang out with eventually influence you as a person?
This question, so it's so tricky because I think it depends on the strength of your personality, right? There was something I saw, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday, and the person was like, Jesus hung out with sinners, right? But they were the ones who changed and not Jesus. Right? This is not to say like, you should hang around the wrong audience or something. I believe that it's dependent on the strength of the person's personality. And then at the same time,
He's Jesus.
You know? At the same time, he's Jesus. And I feel like as human beings, right? No matter how you try to be like, I'm a strong person on my own. I'm so strong individualist, whatever. Eventually, at some point, you're still going to find yourself just unconsciously even like mimicking things that you see people around you do, like your friends. You get
true.
Okay, for example, I'm not like a huge party goer. Mm-hmm. I've never been, because I have so much anxiety when I see too many people in the same place, right? When people are too much in a room, right, it makes me feel so uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, I get that.
And so here I am now. I I have friends who are, you know, okay with going for parties. And when I do join in to go, I just never have a good time.
I just never have a good time.
Like, no matter how wild.
And me, I'm just like,
exactly. Like, okay.
Wow. Can we leave?
Exactly. Like, and I don't want to be that guy that's like, let's go now. But I can't help. So, like, no matter how you look at it, I think your friends and people around you still have a level of influence.
Word. I actually do think the same thing. Like, that, using that example that you gave about Jesus. And yes, Jesus did identify with sinners. Not like he identified, but like
he knew him as somebody who hung out with them.
But what was the purpose of that? Because he did not come for the righteous, he did not come for the quote and unquote, the, you know, that
I
part.
I read it in Matthew yesterday.
Jesus did not come for the healthy.
The 99. He came for the one.
Period. He didn't come for the healthy. He came. And I feel like that should be a thing in our relationships with people.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I will not necessarily classify people as my friends.
Yeah.
Right? And that's because me now, I know that individually speaking, I have a tendency to be very easily influenced.
Mm.
It's even like recently that I'm starting to like find my footing and stand my ground and be comfortable in who I am, you know, now that I understand my true identity in Christ.
Mm.
But before, like, I was easily wind blue, swayed left, right, and center.
Mm.
So I know, like, I knew that, okay, the people that I hung around with would definitely play a role in how I behave. And I noticed it, like, even, okay, Angel now, for instance, did we know any iota of French?
No. No.
You guys, we have this friend, Angel.
Angel,
right?
Noella.
Angel Noella.
Chidera Onodugo.
And Angel grew up in Cameroon. So she knows French. And when Angel is angry or something like that, she would not start.
Exactly. She was like, mon fouet, pas de jeu. You know? And we just, all of us just kind of started saying it.
And then all of a sudden, you just enter your mind, like, mon fouet. You see, and it's just little things. Like you said, like, you just start picking up the littlest things. I feel like the people that you hang around with influence you, either for the better or for the worse or for the bad. So, yeah. Let's keep that in mind.
Yes.
But, like, one thing, speaking of Angel now.
Angel is going to
kill us. Angel is going to kill us. Speaking of Angel, you mother nigga.
Oh my gosh. And, you know, Angel is actually such a solid example for this thing. Because, like, if anybody says something new, okay, there's this thing I started saying now. Like, when somebody says something, I'm like, oh, if you want to insult me, start from idiots.
Yeah.
Angel started saying it. So it's like, those tiny things. Even the way Muna behaves sometimes, I find myself just
doing it.
Even you. Like, that thing that you do.
Are you guys okay? I still don't believe that. Because, no, you guys, they're always like, oh, whenever I see that somebody is maybe feeling down, I'll now come.
She goes then, like this. She'll be like, are you okay?
And I'll rub their shoulder.
Look at your aunt.
He's a back and forth. But this now brings me to my next, like, point or my next question. Because, like, friendships are so important. And you want your friendships to work. You want them to work, like, in the long run.
Yeah.
But the honest truth is that with friendships, with human beings, once you're interacting with people, just know that offense is going to happen. You're going to fight. People are going to
egos
vex
clash,
you.
Definitely.
People, you're going to be vexed by people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do you handle those conflicts in these friendships? That's why I brought up that nigga before. you have to explain it.
That fight was so, it was fight. So insane. Wait, is that the question, like, about...
How do you handle conflicts in your friendship? Okay. And please, have to tell these people that fine.
Okay, fine. I think let me start by saying, like, the first step or the most prominent step for solving conflict is communication. Because I just realized, like, a single pattern in all of the fights that we've had has been because of lack of communication and understanding.
Yeah, true.
So this nigga the fuck fight, it happened between me and my friend Aisha, right? And so, like, we were in the room, like, six of us were in the room, we're just having a conversation. It's like, you know, the playful arguments, the usual, oh no, I don't like tissue, I like water, you know, something like that. And so Angel was standing on a particular point that she liked, let's say, bread. And other people were saying, oh, how can you like bread? Why not rice? And so I'm like, oh, why are you condemning her own choice? It's her choice. Like, she likes bread, not rice. Let her, don't gaslight her. Because then it kind of felt like gaslighting at some point.
That's not how you said it.
That's not how I said it. Ask okay, anybody. Okay. So I was like, and I now told the person that was gaslighting Angel, I was like, oh no, that actually sounds like you're gaslighting her. Apologize. And she was like, oh, sorry, Angel, I really apologize. That was it. And so we just kept on arguing about bread and rice, you know, the usual. And then this other third party, she looks at me and she was like, what do you mean gaslighting? Why are you bringing gaslighting into this whole thing? It's not that deep. Like, why, you know, she was just, she started raking, and then it really felt like she was talking to me. And then I was like, nigga,
no, that's not how you said it. Because Hyson's now trying to make it seem like it was, like, she said it's like so calm. She was like, her face was so disgusted.
Nigga, the fuck.
And just for clarity, this was at a time when we don't know Jesus.
Yes, that's why we
were swearing.
Hence the language. Yes. Now we are Jesus babies.
Yes, but I just feel like that argument was something. It was such a small thing,
but it became so serious. And like, we didn't talk for days. We did not talk for days. We didn't speak at all. We didn't speak.
And that could have ended a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't.
Did not.
Why?
Communication.
I didn't really get it because, like, before, you hated confrontation.
Yes.
I tried to avoid confrontation at any given
opportunity. You know how you now be, like, covering it up with, I'm just not that kind of
person. Yeah, like, I just don't like stress. You know,
just naturally. It's
you, but
you will not open your mouth to talk. Mm.
I mean, before, like, if somebody hurts me, right, because I don't like confrontation, I will go. And I will tell every other person.
Except
the person.
Yes.
And chances are, just to reach that person that, oh, Mona is saying this thing about you.
Yeah.
So I that mean, person is angry that, like, why are you going around telling me my business? And then I'm like, you offended me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but why didn't you come? Why didn't you come to this person to say, oh, this is how I feel? And that's one thing that I have learned and I have observed with you guys, like, in this our friendship group, right? So something will happen, and immediately it happens, Hyacinth either go, obviously she'll be upset, but like not long after she'll come back and she'll be like, okay, Marina, this is why I did not like what you did. And then I will now say, okay, I understand, but Hyacinth, I also did not like this thing. And maybe we will argue here and there, but the thing is that we will not leave until the issue is resolved.
Yes.
And it will be so hilarious because we're fighting like 20 minutes ago, now we're laughing.
Like, that didn't mean an angel for this.
Angel has featured too much. That she should be here.
Angel is always involved in everything.
Always involved. I think it was you guys. What were you guys arguing about?
In church now, about buying.
Yes! It was so hilarious. We're trying to order small chops from somebody. And I think you were the one that said, oh, Angel, transfer the money.
Yeah, like, I'll send you some money. So now you balance it yourself. And then later we can tell every other person to, like, send their own share of the money. And then she was like that, oh, I was being rude the way I take. Which I kind of admit. Because I went back and I read the text and I was like, oh, that was actually kind of rude. Because she was like, oh, I didn't send it. And I was like, great. Excellent.
Yeah, like, you were like, great. Excellent. And with text, nobody knows your emotion.
Yeah.
It's really hard to decipher that.
Yeah,
and it was so, that's when the angel was angry.
She was so angry. She was she was just shouting at me. She was just shouting at me. And then I was like, oh, I was so shouting at you. I was so shouting at
you. And then the reason why you were not getting angry was, I think, was because Angel, too, in her trying to explain,
she started
to shout. Angel, like, for her point to be made.
Yeah,
she had to raise her voice. And then her sister, like, don't shout at me. Don't shout at me. No, I absolutely love you guys. Our friendship group is so
thin. You don't even get
like,
it.
You just know, you don't even get who it. Are these girls? Honestly speaking, confrontation, and no, not even confrontation. Communication in a friendship is so important.
And comprehension, mm-hmm. too. Jesus Christ.
Don't just speak, but also listen. Sometimes it's even more important to listen than to speak. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's how you handle or resolve conflicts in your friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that, like, okay, I feel like there's a conflict that's a bit more tricky, which is when the friendship is feeling one-sided. Because, like, okay, how do you know that, okay, like, what do you do when it feels like this friendship is one-sided, or if it feels like you're doing too much, you get, and the other person isn't reciprocating? Are you going to, like, be like, okay, I think I'm done, and I don't want us to be friends anymore? Or how is that going to, how would you handle that situation?
This question now, there's two things. The first thing being that the friendship is probably one-sided and you are probably doing the most and this other person is not reciprocating your energy, right? The second thing being that you are probably overexerting yourself and you're expecting the person to also do the same for you.
What?
So the bottom line is you need to find what it really is. I feel like finding what it really is will help you take the next step. Like, is it that the person is actually not reciprocating energy and you are actually the one shouldering, like, everything, or the burden of the entire friendship? Then you need to talk about it. I think at the end of the day, you still need to talk about everything. You need to talk about it with your friend, like, oh, I feel like I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm showing you how much I really want this friendship to last, and you are not doing the same. I don't feel you reciprocating that energy. The person's response to you would further tell you what to do, like, do you get? And the second one, if it is that you are overexerting yourself, like you're doing something that this person did not necessarily ask for. Because I'm saying it because I'm guilty of this thing. I would buy you a house if I could. Right? And then I expect you to buy me a house as well.
Yeah.
But then it's probably not even in your capacity to get me a house. And then I'm angry at you because you're not getting me a house. So you really need to do a soul search and understand whether the friendship is really one-sided or whether it is that you're overexerting yourself and you're placing so much expectation on this other person that you obviously cannot meet. You know?
Good. But, like, okay, if you're overexerting yourself, right, and then you know that this other person cannot give you back the same energy that you're putting out, what are you going to, are you now going to try and take a step back and be like, okay, where now you're doing too much, or Hyacinth, you're doing too much, right? Or are you going to be like, no, I don't need to change for anybody. I'm like, if you can't give me back the same energy, you leave.
It's like your choice, actually. It's actually your choice. I saw the psychologist. She said most times it's not even that the person is necessarily a terrible person or they're intentionally not trying to reciprocate the energy. It's just that that's how they are. Like, there is, how do I explain this? She explained it with, she had like two crayons here and two crayons here, right? There's a red crayon here, there's a green crayon here, and then there's two blue crayons here, right? And then this person, to this person, the crayon that represents that you're giving me energy that I want is green, but this person does not have a green crayon, but then they have other crayons. It's like there is a limit to the extent of energy they can reciprocate to you. So now it's left to you to make a choice. Is this something I can deal with for a long time, or for the rest of my life, or for the rest of this friendship, or is it not something I can deal with? I feel like there's people who be like, it's fine, like, honestly, I don't mind doing the most for this person, even if this is how much they can give to me. And there's also people who are like,
not me.
So I think you just need to find out what works for you, but please pick wisely. You don't want to, like, overly exert yourself for somebody that is not
true. For me, I feel like also the best thing is communication.
Always.
Talk, because sometimes it may not be that that's the nature of the person. Something may be up. Because I have been in a situation where my emotional state at that particular point in time cost me a relationship. I had a part to play, but the other person also had a part to play, and I believe that we both failed in our aspects.
Yeah.
Because despite the fact that I was going through a lot, I also did have a responsibility to at least try to communicate in the most effective way possible. And then this other person also had the responsibility as my friend to be patient with me.
Yeah.
Because our friendships are not just for vibes anyhow.
True.
Literally, like the anchor scripture for this entire relationship series is Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verses 9 through to 12.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying that, you know, two people are better than one because they can help each other succeed. If one person should fall down, the other person can help them, like, pick them back up. But if a person that falls alone is in great danger or is in great trouble. And it's saying that essentially two people will have each other's backs. So in the situation where, okay, the chips are down, I know that it's painful for you because you're expecting so much from me.
Yeah.
But right now, the chips are down for me. I'm not in the capacity to do that. As my friend, you have a responsibility. As a friend, you have a responsibility to try and be patient with that person.
Yeah.
So I feel like I even wrote this down. I was like, talk about it. Find the reason. Be patient. And if you have to give space, eventually, give the space, right? Especially if you're hurting.
Yeah.
But let it not be like, oh my gosh, I'm done, I'm cut off. Because this person, at the end of the day, I'm just speaking because I'm speaking from my point of view in the situation that I was in. Because me, I know that if I was not in that mindset at that particular point in time, I would have been an amazing friend to this person.
Mm-hmm.
But the chips were down and I just wasn't at my best.
Mm-hmm.
And it was painful to me, just as it was painful to that person, because I really hoped that this person would be patient enough, you know, to try to understand. But at the same time, I understood that, okay, they were also hurting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it means that, okay, we're just going to give each other some space. And space does not mean, oh my God, cut you off, no communication. Like,
leave. Disrespect.
Reach out to the person. Still reach out to the person, you know, but like,
let's just.
For a while, just withdraw. And then eventually we can circle back, come back to our regular selves, and it will all be all right. But there are some one-sided friendships that also...
You need to leave.
Just do it. Don't kill yourself. Like, especially, like you said, the response that the person gives.
Mm-hmm. It's very important.
The response
important.
That the person gives is very, very important. If the person, like, you know, shows, okay, yeah, I'm genuinely trying, but they're like, man, okay. Bye-bye, go.
Or they say something like, but like, I think I overreact to you, honestly.
That's just how I am. I don't really think it's, I don't think it's a valid response. What do you mean that's how you are?
Because you can make effort. Even if that's
you
how
can.
You are, I feel like you can still make effort.
Exactly.
Depending on how much you rate that friendship.
Exactly.
You can make the effort.
Period. And that brings me to my next question.
Okay.
How do you know when to end a friendship? Like, how do you know? Yeah, it's time to call it quits. I can't do this anymore. How do you know?
I think, first of all, when a friendship is starting to compromise your character, I feel like we've all experienced this, right?
Yeah.
When you are in a place with somebody, they're not necessarily a terrible person, right?
Yeah.
But you just, you know, when a friendship starts to compromise your character or keep you confined or restricts you, then and even when you feel like you have outgrown certain people, when you feel like you have outgrown a person or a friendship, then you need to.
What do you mean by outgrown?
Outgrown in the sense that, like I said, they're not necessarily terrible, but like there's a way that you feel with them that you know that it was the person you were in the past that would feel comfortable relating with them. Let me see, I'm speaking from a place of experience. So, like, I had this friend in secondary school. We became friends in just one. and we were very tight. We were very, very close, down to 100 level. And that was like, that's like about 9 years of friendship.
Yeah.
Like she was still an amazing person, right? But I felt myself growing so much. And you know how people are weathered differently. Like, it didn't mean that she wasn't growing, right? Mm. It's just that we're growing into two very different people. And relating with her just became more and more overwhelming for me. Like, I felt like I always needed to bring so much social battery when I wanted to, like, hang with her. Because now we're just two very different people. And it's not anybody's fault. That's just how life is, basically. And I remember we had like a small issue, and we just decided, like, okay, maybe this is actually time for us to, you know, just. And we did partways for like 2 years, and like this year we now started talking again, and now I'm seeing that we are now getting closer. You see, so I think when you start to see that you have outgrown friendship, or when you start to see that it is no longer serving you, like, you just don't feel whole and enhanced with this person anymore, then maybe it's time for you to just take a step back. And if they're chasing you away from God, without running from
maybe try your slippers and run, go, don't stay with no one here. Like, for me, there's something that I learned, and it's the fact that you can test the quality of a friendship by just asking the simple question, does this friendship help me? Does it benefit, like, what am I benefiting from this friendship, and what am I giving in this friendship as well? So, like, I took down some points because it was just dropping in my head, and I don't want to forget it because I just like the way I put it. It was like, okay, does it help you? Is it beneficial to you? Does it help you become a better person? Are you a better person to other people too? Especially, like, you know, that friend or that group of friends. That's English. That group of friends, yes. Are you growing or are you hurting? And does the friendship, most importantly, does the friendship align with your values as a Christian? Because on Triumph 30, that's like the prayer devotional online that I follow, the prayer points that we've been praying, like, this week, since this week started, is talking about meditating on the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and letting it inform our decisions. But then there's a line that says, I will not partake in any habits that are inconsistent with my faith. And every time I pray that prayer, it sinks in. And it's like, I'm not going to do anything that's compromising my faith at this point in time, because I know who I am. I know what I stand for. I stand for Christ. Anybody that sees me and they know me personally, they'll be like, okay, yes. They know that Marina doesn't do this, and Marina doesn't hang out with these kind of people because of who she is. Right? That's just me. And it also boils down to, like, my friendships. I intentionally stopped interacting with some people because I was like, I don't want to hang out with people that are going to compromise my faith. I don't want to do things that are inconsistent with my belief in Jesus, with my faith in Jesus. And it was painful because some of these people, I had amazing times with them. Amazing times. And it's not like they did anything wrong to me. But just for the main fact, the main purpose that I was not going to grow in my faith, I wasn't going to achieve purpose if I still hung out with these people, I was like, it's time to call it. And I feel like that's the most important, should I say, standard that we have for our friendships right now, especially stepping into adulthood, and for those of us that are already into adulthood, because adulthood is very, very crazy. Like, they did not give us the information.
It is the ghetto.
The streets are hard.
The ghetto.
The ghetto. Literal ghetto. That, like, nothing is here. Everything is just easily available. Everybody just does their own thing whenever they want, however they want to do it. And it should only take the grace of God and understanding yourself, you know, as an ambassador for Christ, image of Jesus. And even if you're not even a Christian, like, when you set standards for yourself, you cannot let other people come and now determine the standards for you.
So you have to meet you up there now. If they can't meet you up there, why are you coming down?
Because if you don't have the standards, you meet any people or
the quality of your friendships will be so
exactly. The friendships will set the standards for you at the end of the day. So I, like, my main point is that when you know that, okay, a friendship is time to, you know, when it's not helping you, is compromising your faith, your beliefs, what you stand for, you are not benefiting anything, nor are you also impacting into it or into the lives of the people.
Because I feel like some people use that, are they benefiting me, to just turn, like, friendship into something consumeristic, and it's like, oh, I'm not going to give you anything, but give me something.
No, yeah, because it's not a parasitic relationship. Yeah. Don't be a parasite. Just be a mosquito, a blood-sucking viper.
I'm telling you, this girl is not okay.
Oh my god, I sense. Okay, so we're wrapping up.
Okay.
And I have a question
from
one of the audience members. Somebody said, I feel like I'm trying to fit in with my friends. I don't want to do everything they want, but I also don't want to miss out on the fun, in quotes, even though it's not fun to me. What do I do?
I think it's more a let me not call it a problem. A her or him. I think it's more a her or him dilemma. Because we'll not call it a problem in Jesus' name. Like, I think, first of all, what's that thing they call it? That thing that you guys used to say I have. FOMO.
Oh, yes. Tyson has serious FOMO. She must do every single thing. If you're on your phone now, and then you're like, this guy is so funny. He has to say, what's that? Let me see. She must be inside the gist.
Like, you don't want to have FOMO. You don't want to have this fear of missing out on things. And I think it's easier said than done, actually. It's easier to say, just be comfortable in yourself. You don't have to do things that your friends are doing. It's not easy. Like, imagine you are in a friend group and, like, you guys are five and four of them are going to do something and you're like, I'm not going to go. It takes one kind of discipline to be like, I'm not going to go. But at the end of the day, that's the truth. I feel like you need to help yourself. You need to teach yourself how to be comfortable with not doing certain things that your friends are doing. Honestly, if they're your friends, I feel like there has to be things that you guys have in common, right? So you guys can share other things in common, but those things that you know you don't like, those things that you know you don't feel comfortable doing, those things that are not fun to you, you don't have to do them. You're not missing out on anything. That's the thing. You're not even missing out on anything, because at the end of the day, when you go to that place, you probably won't feel comfortable. Like me with parties, imagine me saying, I'm feeling like I'm going to miss out. Then when I get there, I'm just sitting down. Guys, can we go now? I really don't think you are missing out on anything, especially if it's not something that you are particularly, or that you particularly find interesting. So just solitude. Just allow yourself to be
solitude.
Be comfortable with not fitting in. God bless you.
You guys. Okay. Said, I feel like I'm trying to fit in with my friends. How do you fit in with your friends? And no, like, no offense to the person that asked this question at all. And I'm not laughing at you. I have been in that situation a lot. And it helped me realize, it was later on when I, like, even stopped being friends, I realized, you're not my friends. Like, if I was trying to fit in, to be among, I realized that it was actually kind of an identity crisis that for Misha. It was an identity crisis, because it was like, oh my god, you know, I don't know who I am. I'm trying to find myself. I'm trying to, you know, find my people, where I fit in, my crowd, my group.
Find your tribe.
Exactly. Mm. And then, so I'm hipping, hopping from pillar to post, from friendship group to friendship group. And I'm seriously struggling because these people, they are going at like 100 miles a minute. And me, I'm like 5 miles an hour. I literally cannot keep up with you guys. Mm. Mm. And the honest truth is, you don't have to be friends with everybody. Life is so huge and big and vast. You don't have to be friends with everybody.
You really don't have to.
You really don't have to be friends with everybody. And if, okay, you say, okay, you don't want to do everything that they want, but you don't want to miss out on the fun. What is the fun?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the person put fun in quotes. So, obviously, it's not fun to them. And it's okay to have things that are, to have differences.
Yeah.
Like, at the same time, I'll go back to the identity crisis. If you know what you are not comfortable with, that's fine. Don't make any other person feel like you are any less.
Yeah.
And if they're trying to make you feel some type of way because you don't hang out with them, my best advice is actually for you to detach from this group of people.
Run away.
Because really, you can't keep inserting yourself into a group where I don't think you are wanted. And it's not, I'm just giving facts.
It's not even healthy for you at all.
It's not. Because you keep on trying and trying and trying.
You keep ruminating on what's...
The issue is that you will never ever be satisfied. You never meet up to standard.
Ever.
Let me give you gist. The gist is that you need to know who you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You need to...
I'm typing.
You need to know who you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. You need to understand who you carry on the inside of you. That's the Holy Spirit. So, literally, once you have come to that awareness, there's a way you carry yourself with small shoulders.
Yes.
I know that it's easier said than done, as most people say. Because, going from one mindset is literally a change of mindset. Going from one mindset to the other mindset. But this mindset that you're going to change is the winning mindset. Do you get?
Yeah.
And it's going to take a while. You're going to probably feel pain that, I lost my group of friends. And you're going to probably end up standing alone for a while. There's a Bible verse. I do not remember it. But it was saying that, it says that, I genuinely can't remember. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. And it says, your old friends will... It was basically that your old friends will mock you and laugh at you and insult you because you no longer do the things that they do. It's not... The Bible said it with... No, the Bible does not amount. But like, the Bible said it. The Word of God literally said it there and then. Dead and then. That's it, dead and then. There and then.
There and then.
The Word of God literally says it. It's fine. You are going to find your people. You're going to find people that think like you. You're going to find people that love Jesus like you. You're going to find people that have the same priorities, the same standards, the same beliefs as you. And people are going to flourish and grow together.
And
people
are going to have each other's backs. Needless to say, when you find those people that are for you, you have to actually be intentional not to lose your individuality. Because you know that thing where you find people that, okay, these are my tribe, my people.
Yeah.
And then you just completely lose yourself. And there's no sense of individuality again. Like, you're just completely attached and clung. Clung is the word.
Clung is a word.
You just completely cling.
Past tense.
But you just completely cling to your friendship and then that becomes your whole identity. You don't want to do that. That's a very painful.
True.
That one is even more painful. It's not more painful, but it's very painful.
Our advice to this person. What's our advice?
Our advice to this person is to, number one, you don't even find those things fun. So don't bother. Number two, it's in my head. I can't bring it out.
Yeah.
Number two, detach from these people that are not benefiting you, these people that are making you feel like you need to fit in to be friends with them. And it's okay to stand alone for a while until you find the people that are for you. God is bringing them faster than you think.
Me, leave. That's what I was
saying. No, run.
anyway,
anyways,
hi, Saint.
Yes,
parting words for our listeners.
parting words.
Look into the camera.
That's like vote of thanks from Speech and Price Giving Day. I'm praying over you the grace to understand the magnitude in which friendships actually influence you. And I'm also praying that you start to be more intentional about your friendships, like picking out friends and also maintaining friendships, because they are so important. Like, you start to see that as you grow, your friends, like the small, whether small or large, your friends actually start to become kind of like your family, because these are people that you start to build and grow with. And times when things get difficult, who do you call? Your friends. Like, never ever 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 underestimate the power of friendship. And just, I pray that you're able to pick the right friends. One thing I want to say is that this is probably going to be topic for another day, but women, don't let anybody lie to you about sisterhood and female friendships, bro. It's so important.
Yeah.
Like, it's so important. I understand that there's this whole, women,
I'm only friends with guys.
When you find the right female friends, bro,
yeah, for life.
Like, nothing can compare to sisterhood. I'm not even playing. Like, it's literally so important. But Marina will talk about it some other time and you would understand. You talk about it now.
Who told you?
I just did him now. I invite you for that.
You guys are big. I can't. I really can't. Hi, Sen. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for
After this, Marina is going to cook for me.
I am. And I asked you before you came, what do you want to eat? She said, I'm not hungry now.
Because I ate Indomie before coming.
Indomie. I ate Indomie before I came.
Anyways,
guys, thank you so much for listening. If you stayed with us to this very, very end, I am super excited and I'm so thankful to each and every single one of you that listens and shares. Please share this episode and share this relationship series with your families, your friends, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother,
neighbor,
your ex. Everybody that you know. Everybody that you know. Let them watch, let them listen, let them be blessed. I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.